Yo, it's your boys back at it again. Episode number 2.
Brother, we are here.
We're here. We made it, man. I'm Wes Gardner. That's Marco Flores.
Yes, indeedy.
Oh, episode number 2, man. How do you feel about episode 1? How do you feel about that show?
I felt pretty good, to be honest. I felt good, you know, sharing stories about my life.
About SWAT teams. And
apparently, yeah. Apparently, it's not as boring as I thought it was.
No, not at all, man. We got good responses back. People say they laugh for 40 solid minutes. And
that's awesome. Yeah, man.
Good times.
Try to keep that streak going.
Right. Well, that's what Brothering Around is.
Yeah, man.
Try to make people laugh, man. But we're... this one's a little more subdued. This is more of a late night deal. My time, it's about 10:30.
Yeah, it's 8:23 here. I just got back from boxing.
Yeah.
So I told Kami, like, yeah, okay, all right. Let me go to boxing before we start. And then it became later than I thought. I was like, oh, crap. Okay, eat quick. And
just devour and then, that food.
Yeah, dude, that was a vacuum. I was like, oh.
So you, it's just shoveling in.
Vegetables and wings and rice. Yep.
Yeah, man. So okay, so like, you did a heavy workout boxing. So
yeah,
what's your recovery meal?
My recovery meal. So my wife is trying to keep the vegetables like consistent.
Sure.
So, I would say before I would just not eat vegetables at all whatsoever. Unless it was like in like some sort of like soup or stew or, you know, it was with the meal already. Yeah. So now I'm eating, you know, like a bunch of vegetables and, you know, everybody say, hey, man, you look great. You're losing a lot of weight. And I was like, oh, really? Oh, nice. Thank you. You know? So yeah, trying to keep that consistent. Like, so it's like my everyday meal, like I eat the same thing every single day and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, man. That's the way to do it.
Because I'm that type of person. Is like some sort of chicken, you know, protein, vegetables, and rice. Uh-huh. Rice is probably like the thing I don't have to have, but I grew up with it. Like that's like saying, you can play video games, but you're like you can't see what they're, you know, you can't watch. You know, the TV or something like that. I don't know, like something like you were just born to do, and then
right,
you know,
see,
and
I appreciate
take away.
I appreciate that was the example because I could have jumped
that
in.
That was a crappy ass example.
No.
I was trying to think like what.
I respect it because you didn't want to offend people. I'm gonna go ahead and offend people. It's like me being Irish, not eating potatoes. That's fine. I get it. I understand. I get potatoes in every meal, brother.
Yeah.
It's got to happen.
It has to be there, right?
It has to be.
So same thing with rice for me. It's like it has to be there. And like my wife is trying to switch me to quinoa. I was like, dude, I'm not about that life. And
lentils. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Quinoa.
So, you know, my wife has, you know, the best intentions, but I'm like, oh, man, I can't give it. I can't give that up.
See, it's,
I can't give
up
rice.
It's baby steps, man. Like you can't just go for like drink kombucha. You know what I mean? Like, have you smelled kombucha, by the way?
No.
Do you know what kombucha is? It's like, it's like a juice, sort of, but it has the seeds of whatever it is in it, which sounds fine, but like the seeds, like soak in that acid, dude, it smells terrible. Kombucha smells like death incarnate. Apparently it's great for you, but people would come and buy it.
Yeah, I
worked at a health food store, and like people would come in and buy kombucha by the freaking pallet. You know, they'd be like, "Oh, I need my $400 worth of kombucha." They'd come and buy this stuff, and then they said this in an appealing way. They're like, "Oh, the great thing about kombucha is it doesn't go bad." And then I thought about it for a minute. And I was like, "Cause that shit's already bad. Like it already it already turned."
It already turned heel.
Yeah, right. Like, it's kind of like saying kimchi, you know, because kimchi's delicious if you haven't had it before. But it's fermented, rotted cabbage.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, how do you make that more rotted? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's already past that point.
Right. Oh, man. I think, like, I think the bane for me, like, yeah, kimchi is like rotted cabbage. the bane for me, like in terms of vegetables, is like bitter melon. Oh. I can't handle that stuff. Oh. It's in the name, bitter melon. Like,
it doesn't even sound appealing.
Yeah, dude, like you can't, you literally cannot chew this because it will be bitter by the time it, you taste it.
Oh my God.
So you kind of have to like bird man and be like a bird and like, oh, you know.
A pelican.
Just suck it up and, just, and then yeah. just swallow it. Yeah.
The fish down the hatch.
Right? So anyways, going back to boxing.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like a what you've been up to. Because I'm kind of curious of like what you've been up to since the last time we talked before we started brothering around. So I joined boxing. I found out that there was a free boxing program in my area.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, right? So, you know, learn boxing for free and you don't have to pay for anything. You know, there's the equipment is free. You could do whatever. I was like, awesome. Yeah. I'll go do that. So you basically have to sign up, fill out the application. There's a background check just to make sure you're not a criminal and you're trying to learn boxing.
Yeah.
Then use it on other people.
Beat some ass out in the parking lot. Yeah.
So, so you go through that. Once you pass through, then you can go. It's like Monday to Friday, 5 days a week, like from like 5:30 to 7. And then, you can just go as many times as you want during the week, you know? Yeah. So I joined up that. At the same time, I joined a Muay Thai kickboxing school.
Oh, bam.
So I'm having double impact on, on like learning how to punch. Now I'm learning Muay Thai. So yeah, like, the workouts are like double extreme because like, I'm trying to find a way to fit both boxing and kick like Muay Thai into my week. And unfortunately, because that's where my intention is going to.
Yeah.
My channel YouTube stuff is like, I'm sitting on like 5 videos that's ready to go, but I'm just not doing the work to put it out there. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So like, yeah, that's what I've been up to lately. It's just been boxing, Muay Thai, and boxing. I haven't been going for a good while because of Muay Thai. But today was my first time back, and I was like, oh yep, just as I remember it. Like a lot of physical work and just learning how to properly punch.
Yeah. And what a lot of people don't realize, and I mean, because we both have martial arts training and stuff like that, but what a lot of people don't realize about boxing is how important footwork is.
Yeah, totally. Like
your stance and you're prepping for something that hasn't happened yet. And you're kind of like leading the witness, and you know, you always watch the hips because,
yeah,
you know, it's like Shakira style, hips don't lie, but they really don't. Like, you can't juke with your hips. Like, you can't do it. It's physically impossible. You cannot do it. That's the best tell in the world. You know, people stare each other in the eyes or whatever. No, man, look at their belt. Their belt will not lie. That you know where they're going to go before they go there.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, footwork and like never cross over. And like, there's certain rules that's what makes those type of sports so interesting to watch to me.
For sure.
You know, people want to watch boxing, someone get knocked out. Oh, so on a surface level, yeah, you're watching somebody fight. But then you go a few layers deeper and you're like, okay, who's really in the lead here? Even before anyone throws a punch, you can know who has the momentum.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting. And you know, people always with Pacquiao and Pacquiao and Mayweather?
That Mayweather,
was a big fight, right?
Like,
we kind of talked about it on a Power Hour, I think, but like, people gave grief to Floyd Mayweather because the only reason he took fights is because he knew he would win.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he's the best in the world, is because he knows he doesn't do the fights that he loses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he fights smart. Like, it's right. His style is more on the points. I feel watching his fights is more on the points. And if he can get a knockdown, then that's great and all. But
bonus,
he's very much an outboxer, like using footwork, being out of the range, and then like frustrating the opponent at the same time because they want to get into their style, into their rhythm.
Sure.
But Mayweather is not having that whatsoever, or Mayweather's not giving in. So that's why, other than like the injury Pacquiao said he had during, like before the fight happened.
Yeah.
Mayweather wouldn't let him go get into that knockout style, because if he tried to throw down with him, like, of course Pacquiao's going to come out on top. Pacquiao's going to knock him out.
every time.
Yeah. So Mayweather had to play his own game, and that's the science of boxing is you have to be keep to your style while, you know, you don't get into theirs, because if you do, then you're going to be in trouble.
Yes, because now you're on, you know, foreign territory. Like you're not the quickest striker in the game, or you know, if someone's going to scramble you up with footwork, you're going to be too busy trying to keep up with somebody. You're going to let that moment slip by. You're going to get punched in the face. You know, like
you got to
be in it. You got to be in it the whole time.
There's a story that you reminded me. And this, funny enough, this came from my kickboxing class when it came to like boxing.
Yeah.
So like my last class, the teacher is a female, like 8-time world champion, undefeated. Like, I'm like, dude, that's who I want to learn Muay Thai from.
Yes. No kidding.
You know? We have class, you know, we're getting to this segment where, I guess she was watching fights over like couple weekends ago. And, she didn't like seeing how, you know, when the people were trading, people were getting off balance. That's what we were working on. So, So when it came to my turn, so the drill was you're going to throw some hands, throw some kicks. At the same time, there's people surrounding you, on all your other sides. Then while you're throwing a technique, they're going to try to push you. So to see if you're going to be off balance, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'll preface this as like in the class, there was like one smaller guy, a guy smaller than me, and then two women, or like one teenager girl, and then one other smaller woman, right? And I'm the biggest guy. I'm the biggest guy, basically.
Yeah.
So when it came to my turn, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, I got this. You know, I did some boxing, you know, before we, you know, I started joining Muay Thai. I should be good, right?
Yeah, you got a weight advantage. You're like, okay,
you got a weight advantage.
Stable. Yeah.
Guess who was the guy that gets off balance the most out of the smaller guy? Right. And the two little women. Now, I'm not trying to downgrade women or anything, but like that's what the situation was. Like these women were pushing me around.
Oh yeah.
And I'm getting upset because I was like, why is this happening? And I'm not even knowing why it's happening. So the teacher tells me, I'm leaning too much forward as I'm punching, and as I'm doing that, all of my weight is on the front leg and none on the back leg.
Yeah.
So that's how they're throwing me off balance. But when I kick, I'm fine. Apparently, because it's the world champion. Teacher that's trying to like you pull me back as I'm trying to kick, but it's these little my pride gets hurt here because these little women are the ones that are pushing me aside like, oh, get out of the way, you know
right,
you know, get out of the way, you know, just hurting my pride in the deepest sense, you know. And I was mad at the end because I was the last person to try the drill, and then we're done with class. But like, I was trying to like, I got it. But no,
sure.
I did not have it. You know,
I mean, and it's funny because like what I've been doing lately, I've just been really hitting the whole bodybuilding thing pretty hard.
Right.
And, but that same thing applies. Like going in with your ego is the best way in the world to fuck up because if you're going in and you're lifting with your ego, so it's known as lifting with your ego because whenever you're at the gym, you don't want to seem like a pushover, right? You want to be like, okay, I'm a sizable person. I want to be able to, you know, oh, that guy's benching two plates by himself. I bet I could do that.
Right.
But what you end up, you psych yourself up and you try to do things that maybe you're not wanting or like that your body's actually not physically able at that moment to do. So like the biggest holdup that you'll see in the gym are guys that are lifting too heavy. And it's not because their muscles can't handle it. It's that their joints can't handle it.
Right.
Like the first thing to go is going to be your shoulder and your elbow every time. Like you could have huge guns. You could have all this stuff. You could have a ripped six pack, big pecs. If you lift slightly too heavy, slightly off sync, you're out for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those that you kind of have to learn to, you have to learn to be humble, and you just go in and like, I get a decent workout. I'll go on the bench. I'll just put one plate on each side. So I'm lifting 135. Just 135 bench is no big deal. Like, you know, there's sixth graders that do that type of stuff. So, but the thing is, like, The whole way that I would go about it, and you know, people ask, well, like, what do you take? And do you creatine and like all this other stuff? And it's like, well, it's just getting your meals in, but also it's just do a workout. Like, don't hype yourself up so much that you lift 320 pounds one time.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, because if you're lifting 320 one time, sure, it looks impressive and people might clap for you. But if you're lifting 135 pounds 40 times, like do that multiplication. You know, over the course of 5 minutes, you just lifted 5,000 pounds. So, you know what I mean? Like your muscle tension and all that stuff. Because, like, I
Yeah.
went from, you know, and I did my old fitness stuff back in the day. So, probably what, 4 years ago or so, 5 years ago, I was a buck 35 at, you know, 5'11". And I weighed in, oh man, I weighed in. When was it, like 2 days ago? And I'm at
You
200.
posted a picture, like 210, right?
Yeah, I was at 210. Now I'm at about 213. I've gained weight since that picture. So it's like I'm almost two of what I was 5 years ago.
That's awesome, dude.
You know, it's crazy. But it's all
When
about
I
lifting smart. It's not, I could go in and like I could work out with anybody on the planet. We would stay locked into 25-pound weights, and I could make you like wish for death, you know, because I mean, just because it's, you don't have to lift heavy, like you just have to lift right.
So when I long since I joined the two, like boxing and Muay Thai, I long quit the gym, and they try to keep you back, like, what can we do to make you stay? I was like, you can't really do anything, because I'm getting more out of these two things than I ever did at the gym. So like when I go about working out, like I care about like functional strength, so I don't really care about the appearance, like how people want to, how, like, say like guys that go to the gym want to look like, the guys on like the, magazine covers or whatever, like have that V thing that nobody knows
That weird,
what that
like,
weird V thing that people, the guys started like hanging out, like hanging low when, if they ever have them, and
those hip
have that kind
abductors or whatever they're
of
called.
right. So like, I'm a bigger guy, and like I just care about that. The strength that I have be used for anything that I can do in my, in my normal life. You know what I mean? So, in my work and whatnot. So like I worry about like, okay, I better not lift too much, too heavy, because I don't feel like I'm going to be too super, like more slower if, say, like an attack happens, say just for an example, and I'm like, I want to be able to know that I'm going to be as mobile as I can, even though I may be bigger, compared to other people. I mean, like, that's how I go about it.
And I think the secret to that is flexibility. Like,
Yeah.
I would just do tons of stretches. When I mean, especially, they probably got you
Totally.
doing that with boxing and Muay Thai, man. They probably got you doing, toe stuff. They got you like leg extensions, and I mean, that's the type of stuff where you're going to see the biggest benefit is just functional, like you said, just functional movement and knowing your body's limber enough to do certain things. And and that's advice I give. I'm like, just do the thing you want to do. Like, people ask, what's the secret? And like, with my whole philosophy behind the gym for what my goals are is I don't really care. Like, people ask my one rep max. I don't know. I don't know. And that's not like, oh, I can lift so much, I don't even know. No, I'm probably not very super strong, but the secret in my mind is it doesn't matter how much I can lift. How much does it look like I can lift? You see what I'm saying? Like, so I'm walking in and my arms are like 19 inches, and you're like, God, that guy's huge. But then I promise you, any senior in high school that does powerlifting can lift more than I can, guaranteed. And that's like, I would put money down and I would bet on that high school kid every time. I'm a 30-year-old man. I've had many years out of the game that I could have done all this super strength. I can, deadlift 800 pounds, all this stuff. I think my deadlift's at like 300 something, which isn't much. Like, that's what, I mean, like, no kidding. I think I saw a Facebook post where some grandma did that. Like, grandmas are lifting
I saw that
325,
post.
man. So, but once again, I'm not lifting with my ego. Like, I don't go in like, oh, I'm so much stronger, because there's always someone stronger, there's always
For
someone
sure.
faster. Like, just do you, and Yeah, and like the way you're going about it and functional strength, especially with Muay Thai, man. Oh, dude, you're gonna be a killer. Like, it's gonna, dude, you know, you're gonna be able to hit quick, and you're gonna be able to hit hard. You know,
I'm learning. Yeah, yeah, man. I mean, that's what I've been up to lately. I mean, I don't know if I told. I think I told you like off the air, but like, I'm trying to go to do the Spartan race like next month. Yes. It's already next month, so like that's when I'm ready. Getting ready for it. Yeah. I mean, that's where the functional strength is going towards right now for next month, is to be able to do those obstacles and be able to hang on whatever I'm going to be climbing.
Sure.
And not give out, because otherwise, I think like the penalty for not completing an obstacle is like 30 burpees.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm getting more fine with burpees as I go, because like the Muay Thai, like, The teacher does this thing called Filthy 50, and I believe it's like a CrossFit thing. They list off like a specific exercise, each like list of exercises, you do 50 reps of it. So burpees is one of them, and I'm starting to, like, at first, you know, had super trouble, like I couldn't even, I had so much struggle just to get to 50, but now like I'm starting to get winded at like 25. I was like, okay, I feel better now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So like, yeah, just getting ready for that. I mean, that's literally been up to, other than like my morning schedule for work, and I can sleep like in the normal times now, consistently. Like
human time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's the human body's so bizarre. Like, it's so amazing how easily it adapts to new things.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Like, you'll go and you'll be struggling with, and this happens to me, it feels like it happens 3 or 4 times a month. Like on a lift or something I'm doing, or an exercise I'm doing, like I just struggle with it at first. And I'm like, man, I don't know if my body's made out for this, or, you know, maybe I need to really lower this weight. 5 days go by and then I'm lifting double what I did before. You know, your body just gets accustomed to like, oh yeah, I know how to do this.
It just clicks, right?
Yeah. And then it just falls right back in. And then you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is good now. Never mind. I was fretting about nothing.
Yeah. That's how I kind of am with class. Like, the teacher will tell me like 5 times repeatedly, like, no, like, don't do that. You're supposed to do this. And in my head, like, I don't want to talk back to the teacher. So like, but in my head, I'm like, I hear you. You can repeat it like 20 times as much as you want. But if it doesn't click to me, then I won't get it until it clicks.
Yes.
And then like, yeah, then it'll happen. But like,
you do it the one time.
She can get mad all she wants. But like, dude, that's kind of like how I am. Like, it needs to click.
You're telling me directly
what I need to do, and like, yeah, it needs to click. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't. Until you actually break it down to the most basic level, and then like, oh, okay, and then do it.
It's so funny.
What have you been up to? What have you been up to since then? Like, you've been working.
Yeah, just been working out. Brother. Like, it's just been doing the tech support stuff, and working at the college I graduated from now. Like, they just hired me on. Full time,
awesome.
Like first real big boy job, you know, right out of school is working for the school. So get to do all that. Like I got a big hour long presentation on Friday for a professional development day that I'm doing. Then, next week I'm doing a 3-day long, like, conference. I'm moderating stuff. Like, it's so weird. Like, it's just the weirdest thing. Last year I was a Twitch streamer, and now I'm moderating like regional conferences for IT support session. Like, what?
For the school, right? Yeah. You were saying.
Yeah, and this is a combination of like 5 states all coming together, their community colleges and stuff. And yeah, dude, I mean, there's like 300-400 people going to be at this thing. And
Nice.
Weird.
So you're doing your thing, man.
I know. Yeah, it's like, it is what it is, right? You know, you do the hustle and hope for the best. Yeah. But the, like, in a hobby side of things, because I'm the same way. I'm recording, like, I probably have 7 or 8 hours of footage for a video I'm working on, and like, it's just sitting there, and it's looking at me, and I could do it, right? You know, because like, really, I could, if I recorded the narration and edited the videos together, I probably have 3 episodes of West versus Backlog. But it's sitting there, it's just there in the ether, and you know, it's one of those things like, I know I'm gonna come back to this, but it's just sitting there. So that's one of the other, going back to the first episode of Brethren Around Here, that's why we kind of wanted to do this. This is easy. This is nice. It's relaxing. There's not a lot of that pressure of doing, you know, going into After Effects and rendering out video and making sure sound levels are right. Like, no, we just record it and we go.
Layout, and then like we have to be up to knowledge of like, okay, we're going to talk about these things, then we have to know what's going on. And
yeah, we have to research on, you know, these old websites that have facts about, well, because people don't realize how much work goes into the power hour. Like, it's a lot of fun to do, and once we go live, it kind of feels like it goes off the rails. But that's all by design. Like, we probably research, I mean, we pick the game for power hour,
I think that's the hardest part, is picking the game, because we're like, well, okay, well, which way we want to go with this? Because last episode, we went, like, Yandere Simulator. Yeah, now this one, I don't know if we should be super serious, or, like...
Yeah. Like a full motion video thing from the Sega Saturn, or like now we have like, you know, I our next game that we're talking about is a sports game. So
with the new phone, I've been getting emulators, and I got the Sega CD emulator. So the guess what the first game I got?
Oh man,
the Sega CD, and it's basically because of the Power Hour.
Oh man!
Any of those games that we did, Sega CD. What do you think?
Oh, what it? What was the name of? What, it wasn't Shadow Warrior. It was a
Supreme Warrior. That's Supreme... the first game
I got.
I was like, okay, I want to check this out and see if it's really harder than it looked on the Power Hour. And I can tell you, I can verify it is actually like it's very difficult because they don't really explain anything. How to block or how to punch or whatever, and the controls. I guess because there was like a peripheral, like an extension of it that they wanted people to buy. I didn't realize this. Like, I went to the options and there was like something called training, and then we totally bypassed that.
of course, we did.
It was telling us like, this is how you punch, but it didn't tell us button layout how to actually do it. You know, it just tells you like, you punch when they're open on the sides, and then you do, you know, double palm press when they're open in the center. Like, oh, okay, so I'm trying to do these things, but yet nothing is coming out.
Right. And it's, you know? so,
I know better than this.
Right. And those games are set up that way. They're so obtuse and just,
but
we do a lot of research like around the game. So this was developed by this company, and they went out and splintered off to this. So we're like this walking inside encyclopedia. But the one thing we don't get a chance to do before the show is play the freaking game. You know what I mean? So then we run into, like Supreme Warrior, where we run into that type of stuff, to where it's just like us failing miserably at these games.
You couldn't pass a single stage.
Nothing.
In that Power Hour. Like, oh man, I mean, the commentary is great. But like, dang, I wish we can just show progression a little bit, you know?
Right.
But that particular game, those controls were bullshit.
They're insane, man.
You know,
it's not even a game. It's just you hope things happen.
Right.
You know,
I saw the controls in this. So like the down pad was like to do like dirty moves. I was like, really? You can kick people in the balls? I was trying to do that.
Part.
Nothing was coming out. Maybe I didn't learn the move yet, but yeah.
But on that video game side, one of the things I've been kind of dabbling in, because, you know, I'm in the IT department now, so I'm around people way smarter than I am, and these guys are like server administrators, these guys are programmers and stuff, and like seeing them code, and then, you know, the web development team, and I could dabble in that a little bit, but they're way above and beyond. Like, they'll talk about things that, for me, like, if they gave me that task to be able to sync this in with that and then bring in this information from this database and do it, it would legit take me 2 months to learn how to do it.
Oh.
And that, you know what I mean? But these guys get it done within 3 hours. Like, they're just on another level. And so seeing that, and, you know, I like surrounding myself with like smarter people than myself.
Sure.
So I'm like, man, like, okay, yeah, the coding, I get it. And explain what you're doing here. And, you know, I kind of figure out, trying to figure out what's going on.
Just absorbing knowledge.
Yeah, just anything, man. Just like, give me an experience. Like, let me have something to call back to. And so I'm seeing all these guys program and stuff. And I was like, okay, if I were wanting to get into programming, what would you recommend? And they're like, seriously, man, just go on to like Code Academy, go on to all these websites. Just make yourself a small video game. Because that builds like an understanding of logic, like programming logic, artificial intelligence, setting variables and constants and all these like kind of insider terms, basic programming skills, essentially. And they're like, so it's a great way to...
Is that where you eventually want to go, is like actually develop like a indie game?
Not really, is the thing. No. Like, I just saw them do it, and I was like, this stuff's really cool. Like, I wonder, you know, and we've been gamers our whole life and stuff, and then whenever they told me that, I was like, hey, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll have more of an appreciation for the stuff we're already, you know, huge marks for, and love more of these video games once I know exactly what it takes to make them.
Right.
And dude, it's hard as balls. Like, Jesus, this stuff is, it's a wonder anything good ever gets made ever.
Right.
Because it's all nonsense. It's nonsense. Like, I'm looking at it, and of course it's going to get easier with time, but you have to think every single thing on that screen has been, and you know this, you were a quality assurance tester for Sega, correct?
All right. So, Sega and, yep.
Yeah, so every single thing, I'm talking the way the icon for the start menu works, like, mm-hmm. all of it is made. Like, someone made that. So, you're bringing in, I don't know, 400 million assets or something, right? Like, textures... You got the mm-hmm. polygon that the texture has to be on. Then you have the bone structure that the yeah. model is attached to. Then you have the engine that you're in has its own gravitational density. Then you have, like, all of it. You take nothing for granted whenever you realize, oh, if I want my guy to turn left when I hit the left button, I have to redraw everything to face him left.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, God, I just... made this pixel guy, and yeah, that's funny, but now, oh, you need a jump animation, but you need to do it in such a way that it can get interrupted by like a projectile, and it doesn't look out of place, and you're like, oh my God, like now you have to, so all this work you did,
you're just making my head hurt right now.
But and that's even just to see the stuff, just to see it, you got to draw it. You got to animate it. You got to tell it how many keyframes that animation is. Like,
you gotta
when
code
the
it.
User. Yeah. So basically a piece of logic. So a piece of code, a very simple, a good example of like a loop, I guess, would be, you remember back in the day whenever you would go to a website and they had that website counter?
Like, yeah.
how many people viewed this website?
Right.
Well, technically, the logic behind it is if the user... is a new user to the website, add one to the number. Like, that's what the sentence is, right? So then you would code that, like, if variable user equals blah, blah, you know, basically telling the code, like, if this is a person that has not been on my website before, add one to the view counter.
Right.
However, if they have visited before, do not add one to the counter. So you even have to tell it to not do it. So not only do you have to say yes, you also have to say no.
Legit hits and all that stuff.
Yes. So, but now you're talking about games. You know, people wonder why do video games cost $300 million to make? Whoa. That's why. Because you're paying a team of 1,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years of their life for 40-hour work weeks, and that's if they get off early.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts. Like, how is this a thing that exists? Like, how do video games work?
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember we were at a deadline of a game, and I believe we did like a 20-hour shift.
Yeah,
and then we had to go home, like shower up or take a nap, and then come back and do that all over again,
right?
Like, do like a regular 8 hour or you know, overtime, because it was at that deadline. Like, you know, we need to see if like all these bugs are fixed, or like we gotta, you know, make sure we don't find any new ones. And if they are, we gotta make sure they're priority and yada, yada, yada. Dude, it was a lot of work,
yeah, man. And that's on the side. So, like, with a bug, for instance, let's say you have a, because my project idea that I'm making, like in my mind, I'm like, okay, let's start with the bare basics, bare bones essentials. Let me make a Castlevania clone that's like three levels long. That's it. Nothing crazy. Nothing like, oh, I have a trilogy planned. Like, none of that shit. Just get me a guy that has a little weapon.
And he's going can attack. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I run. I can throw a thing. I can level up. That's about it. Like, that's all I want. That's all I want out of life. Like, let me make that, and then I'll be fine. I'll get the game creation bug out of my system, or I'll learn enough to know what my next one will be. So I start all that, and I'm even using the easy stuff, man. I'm using like Click Team Fusion. I'm using Game Maker. So all this stuff that's apparently drag and drop. You don't even need to really know how to code, but I'm trying to code. Like I want to know exactly how this works. So instead of relying on the drag and drop thing, I want to go in and I want to program it to do it. I want to know what's happening.
You're literally living the life of a game dev tycoon.
Yes. In that aspect. For real, what's going on. And
yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so now if I really want it to be Castlevania, what Castlevania do I want it to be? Do I want it to be the 8-bit regular Nintendo Castlevania? Or do I want it to be like the Super Nintendo type Super Castlevania? Do I want it to be Symphony of the Night? Do I want it, you know, like, what do I want this to be? And then that's going to define what's my color palette when I make all the graphics. What's the size dimensions of each enemy? What's the size dimensions of the player character? Like, if my screen is 640 by 480, if that's the play view, what percentage of that play view should the UI be? So how big should those little hearts that show my health be? How do I program those to show every time I get hit, half of a heart gets taken off?
Right.
Like, and then once I have to set the state to where now all of the hearts are gone, it has to check my player state to where now my character is dead. So what does that mean? What happens? Well, now if me being dead is verified, then show you are dead on the screen. But if a bug comes up, let's say I'm in the middle of playing and then you are dead will pop up, even though I'm not. Well, now I have to go and look back at all like 2,000 lines of code to figure out what's going on here.
Make sure you're not a Bethesda.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, they just push it out anyway. Get all the mods to fix it. Now I have so much more empathy for Bethesda games. Like, no wonder they're buggy pieces of shit. The stuff they're doing is ridiculous.
You know, you're not cleaning after themselves. It's like, forget it. I'm just going to leave it as is.
Yeah, man. I don't blame them. Because, God, moving a little pixel guy around is like, it's a tragedy. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
And then you think about the games that they put out, like Fallout and Skyrim and all that stuff. Like, dang, those are big-ass worlds. And
yeah, and it's amazing that any of it works. It's amazing. Right? Like, and I say this about movies, too, and I know we've talked about this. It is amazing that anything good comes out of anything. Because how many people, just next time you go to a movie, next time you watch a movie, like, keep a stopwatch on how long the credits are. Right? So you have, and I don't even think this is an exaggeration, you have what, 4,000 people working on a movie?
Exactly.
Probably. How is any of it good? Because I know places I've worked where it's me and two other coworkers and shit barely gets done because it has to go through three hands. So it's like, oh man, well now, you know, now this might take a while. Now we're going to add some work. And that. So you're talking about corresponding with three people. How in the world can you do a project with, you know, 200 and 300 people?
Right.
And have anything good come of it? Like, there's so many cooks in the kitchen. I just don't, it blows me away. Like, it's a fun hobby, and I really, I'm glad I'm doing it, because I'm really learning to appreciate what goes into making these things. But I'm like, man, it takes a special type of mind to be able to go in and just know it. You know what I mean? Because whatever that logic is, now, you show me a design document, you show me like graphics, you show me video stuff. I get it. Like, that's my language. Like, I'm like, okay, yes, we can make this better by doing these three things. just by looking at a video for 5 seconds. I can tell you, here's what we can fix, here's what will make it look better, whatever it is. But with coding and looking at it and seeing that one-to-one ratio of like, here's what it looks like on the computer screen as to here's what it looks like on the back end, it's mind-blowing. Like, truly crazy. Like, if you want a bare-bones version of it on like Firefox or Chrome or whatever internet browser you may be on right now, right-click and go to Inspect Source or View Source. Just read that code. I know that code. Just, that's web design. I know that.
Yeah.
But, like, that's an idea. Like, what you're seeing is all of that code. But it's telling the computer what to do and how to display it and where are the widths and what's the margins and where do I put the image and how big is the image? And, like, it's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something we, you know, regular people take for granted. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I just want to go to Google and go to this site and maybe bookmark this and all that. But, yeah, you're not seeing in the background, like, what does it take just to do all that stuff?
Right. Hell, the fact that Google can bring up anything is a miracle to me. Right? Like, now that I'm seeing how IT works and how servers communicate with databases and like how all of this works on the fly all the time, I'm like, how does this not just all blow up? Like, how does this is MacGyver stuff, man?
Dude, like, I don't remember back. You remember back in the day, like on the heydays of the internet, like there was multiple sites where you would go to look up a specific thing. And it may or may not show up on that, you know, on that search engine site. So like with Yahoo and like Alta Vista and like GeoCities or whatever, you know. And then there was like web rings and stuff just for like that specific subject and, you know, the affiliated sites with it. It's just,
oh my God, yeah.
How archaic it was.
Oh yeah. Compared to now. It was like the Wild West, man. Like you would just stake your claim. And then you would be like, oh, you talk about Final Fantasy II? Why don't you join my web ring?
Join my web ring. I'll put you on my links.
Yeah, we'll put it on the links. We'll have people from my site sign your guest book.
Yeah, guest book. I forgot about guest books. Dude, that's where Comets was back in the day with guest books.
That's right, man. Oh my God. Goodness. Like, the web has changed so much.
Dude.
And like, part of me wishes that I was way into, like, coding and that type of stuff before now. Because, I genuinely feel this way. Because in January, I'll be 31 years old. I feel like I'm too old. Like,
I'm looking to be learning.
You know what I mean? Which is not necessarily the case. It may just take me longer to retain the info and all this other stuff. But like, if I was way into this at 13 and I was using like Visual Basic and I was doing all that stuff, like I could probably be a whiz at it. But I wasn't. So now I'm trying to learn even like, you know, what is a if-else statement? And like, what is a while loop? And what is all the... And these are like basic 101... Like, this is what you teach third graders that want to learn how to computer code. But it still blows my mind. Like, I'm like, oh my God, it's like you just opened Da Vinci's code. You know, you're like, oh, gee, oh, that's amazing. Like, I'm just blown away on constant amazement by it. And people are like, this isn't a big deal at all. And I'm like, well, can you believe it? Like, that's how a calendar works. And they're like, yeah, that's, you know, you'll learn that in the second grade now, you know.
Dude,
it's just. Do you feel that way sometimes? Like you want to get into a hobby, but then you really do have that moment. Like, I'm too old for this shit.
I worry that I will hit that moment, like on anything, and I don't want to do that. It kind of reminds me of like how I try to teach like my dad about like how to surf the internet or something.
Right.
And like, if I know for him how he's processing it, like, I have to think about this. I have to like think about like what's my email address and you know, how to get the deer. And like, you know, I would back then, I would often get calls like, oh, so how do I do this? And like, no, stay with me as you're trying to show me.
Yes.
And then like, he'll get frustrated. He's like, just take me to whatever. Like,
yeah. Just do it for me. Hey man, that's what I get paid to do now. Like that's my job.
That's, you know what I'm saying? That's literally what your job is.
But that's literally what they pay me for. But like, But a great example is driving a car.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you first learn to drive, every time you get in the car, you like sit up straight, you get that seatbelt on, you're looking, you're like, okay.
Look at your mirrors.
Yes, you adjust them, you look, you put your foot down, you're like, okay, so there's the gas pedal, can I reach it? Yeah. There's the brake pedal, can I reach it? Yeah. And then you like look behind you, or is that side mirror set up okay? And then like, whenever you're backing up, you're looking through your rear view, you have your hands on 10 and 2, you go
checking all the mirrors like every millisecond.
All of them. Like people are after you. Like that's what you look so paranoid. Yeah. And like, so you're backing slowly out and then you stop the car completely and put it in park and then you make sure no one's coming. And then, but then you're driving for a year, you have music blaring, you're not even paying attention to shit.
You're not looking at your mirrors.
Nothing. You'd freaking forget you have mirrors. Like, you know?
You almost made an accident. I was like, dude, but that dumb guy.
You blame the other guy? Like, yeah, I was in his lane, but fuck that guy.
Right.
Yeah.
But he should have seen me.
Yeah. Right. I was coming too. It's nice that his car doesn't fucking have brakes. But like, yeah, so, but that's it. Like you start learning this deal and you know, you're 16, 15, 16, whenever you're getting your permit, your mind is still able to just latch onto that new skill and like hop on in.
Yeah.
But like, you try to teach a 40-year-old how to drive for the very first time.
Oh, dude.
It's not a fun endeavor. Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't retain as easy.
Either they'll learn at an early age, or if they don't, they will just never will unless...
Never. Yes, they opt
out. Something in their life has to make them decide that they have to learn how to drive or something.
Exactly. And yeah, they just opt out. They're like, no, I don't do that.
No,
I'll take the bus. The internet, I don't worry about the internet.
Yeah.
I don't do video games. I don't do that.
Like those Geico commercials, how they do like real Facebook. Have you ever seen those? Like it's old, these old grandma ladies, like, I think one of the commercials was like playing Candy Crush, but they were like putting actual candy on the table and then smashing it with a hammer.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I think one of the Facebook commercials, like, I unfriend you. Like, that's not how it works. You have to do it online. You can't just tell them that you unfriend them, you know, or poking each other, whatever. You know, there's too many things.
Yeah. It's and you know, now I'm at that point because you know you're getting old, and we've said this before, but you know you're getting old whenever you start watching movies that come out. And let's say the movie is about a rebellious teenager and, you know, they go out partying with their friends. Like, I'm at the age now to where I think the parents are absolutely right. Every time. I'm like, yeah, fuck, that kid needs to sit down and listen. Right. Like, he needs to not sneak out. Yeah, but back whenever you're 19, you're like, yeah, fuck the establishment. You're thinking, what?
Man, shut up, Mom.
He's a rebel with a heart of gold. You just don't understand. But like now I'm like,
Power
that
Rangers
kid.
Trailer.
Yeah, and now it's like, that kid needs to do his fucking homework so he gets good scholarships.
Right. Because we're barely getting by.
Yeah, you're just scraping.
We need a third income fast.
Yeah, we need it quick. You need to go work that job, unloading dishwashers, whatever you need to do.
Right?
Bring in that money.
Dude. Times are hard, man. Times are hard now.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah.
I saw a picture of saying, like, back in the day, working 40 hours Monday to Friday, one job, we'll have you, you know, getting by. Getting by fine.
Yeah.
And, like, it's 2016. Like, yeah, now you have to work, like, two jobs, working 16 hours a day. Just to make the rent or something, or
to
survive.
It's insane. And I mean, it's bad because people will say, oh, that's kind of exaggerated and stuff. Legit, 100%. If you get a job at McDonald's, there's a thing on the back of the employee manual that has like helpful hints for like saving money or like doing well for yourself.
Yeah.
It literally says, get a second job.
Yeah.
It literally says it. Right. They know that they're not paying enough, that the economy's in such a weird area right now that, like, yeah, we know you're working here 30 hours a week, but why don't you go up the road and work somewhere else 30 hours a week? And then so they said, like, a great way to save money, don't run your heater in the winter. Are you fucking kidding me?
Oregon Trail? Sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. No, I'll save a lot of money because I'll be fucking dead.
Yeah.
I'll save all kinds of money.
Like, jeez, man.
Yeah, but that's brutal, right? It's like, what nerve?
That's terrible.
But then on the flip side, I understand, you know, that, oh, we should raise the national minimum wage to, you know, $15 an hour and all this.
Right.
That's a whole deal because here's what's going to happen. They're going to do that. If they raise the minimum wage, they put it to $15 an hour, whatever. It's not going to be the doom and gloom of, well, now, you know, milk is going to cost $9 a gallon. Like, that's not going to happen. But what is going to happen is instead of a McDonald's employing 30 people, it's going to employ 5.
Right.
And it's going to be
specialty employees.
Bingo, because they're going to automate the systems.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be paying for somebody to take your order. You're going to be paying for somebody to fix the machine.
Right. One guy's going to be assigned to, like, make the hamburgers. The other guy's going to be assigned to, like, being the, like, janitorial duties. And like, another person's, like, to troubleshoot the menu and, you know, and that's it.
Well, you see, now it's self-checkout.
Yeah.
Like, of course, you know, they're going to raise the wage of the cashier because now the cashier doesn't have one lane. Now the cashier is in charge of 12 lanes because they're all self-service.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to get paid more because they're doing a more valuable job, like, based on the market standards. But
I mean, that's how they're going to combat that.
Yeah, that's how exactly. So, yeah, they'll raise the minimum wage and then have half the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, it'll be like a nostalgia. Say you go to, like, a place that does, like, still, like, hire a lot of people. But that's going to be, like, considered, like, a nostalgia.
Yeah, like a boutique.
Establishment or something. Yeah.
Like a little franchise that, you know, these up and comers, you know, they buckled up their bootstraps. They know how the way the things used to be. Yeah. Like, come on, man.
Dude.
Like, the world's kind of a fickle place when it comes to business, you know.
Oh, man.
It's just rough.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened with Blockbuster. Hilarious, right? They had a bid to buy Netflix for, like, what, $10 million, and they passed.
Yeah. Wasn't there a picture of, like, a lot of green, foliage and whatnot, but, like, underneath it all, like, there was, like, a Blockbuster?
Oh,
I guess they found it. Like,
a relic.
Yeah.
It's like, a bygone era.
But where was this?
What a Blockbuster. But, I mean, that place was... You couldn't get enough Blockbuster. That place had like 9,000 stores worldwide.
It was
everywhere.
Around every corner. I mean, I was a Hollywood Video guy myself because that's what we had. But Blockbuster was everywhere.
That was it, man. That was the jam. Friday night, if you weren't Blockbuster, man, you were a fucking chump. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you had to go get those movies.
You had to get those games like Friday afternoon or Friday morning.
Oh my God. Because all the good ones are taken.
Yeah. All the good ones are taken.
Yeah, the good ones are taken. So now you're just stuck with Bubsy 3D.
Bubsy 3D.
Congratulations.
Or Gex, you know.
For the fifth, Gex for the fifth
Jaguar
time.
Or Jaguar or something.
That's all you can rent because you get there late.
Yeah.
And then you get pissed at the guy because he comes the day before and rents it for 5 days. You're like, that motherfucker.
You keep checking back, but like that guy won't return the game.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and he has it late, and like, fuck that guy. Charge him for that game. He's just gonna take it for his own.
You have his address, right?
Yeah. It's like, tell me what his number is.
I'll call him. The game.
I'll call that guy.
I'll get it myself. Talk to him.
Oh, and then you would write. I always liked renting the games because like people would actually write cheat codes in the back of the booklet.
Yeah, on the notes section.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But then they started getting smart up on that, and then they started either one's just stealing the book and keeping it, or two, they were putting like cheat codes on the back of it. They would do the like printed generic box art, and then on the back it's like, here's a helpful tint. Whatever you before you die, pick up more health. And you're like, fuck
do
you.
Do better.
Like, yeah. Like do Jackass. Better things. Yeah. Play the game better, bro.
Right?
That's not advice.
A thing I'm seeing, like, because of Redbox, I think it's more prevalent in my area, I guess, because, like, again, as I said in the last episode, I live in a suburb area, but, like maybe outside of it, like, there's more like, the ghetto and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you go to Redbox and say, like, you're renting a movie or a game, and you'll get the, you know, you'll get the cover, but the disc portion is a paper printed as a disc. So you have a chance that it'll, you know, the person that got the disc before will make a paper copy of that disc and say as if it was returned. So people can get shipped out of their, like, you know, game or movie. But yeah, I've seen that happen in my area.
That's crazy. You think they would have like a, cause I know it scans it and everything whenever you put it back, but it really just scans the box.
It just scans the box.
That's
it's not
wild.
Scanning inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that's messed up, see?
That is pretty kind of genius. Like shitty. Shitty
is.
For sure, but kind of genius.
Yeah.
But Blockbuster was wheeling and dealing, man. They were firing on all cylinders until they weren't. Like, it just happened. It just out of nowhere, people just stopped caring about physical video rentals. I can just get it online.
This is when Netflix started booming.
Then poor freaking Blockbuster, they tried to get in on that, trying to do like a delivery service and all that, and then
no idea how to do it.
They weren't built for it. So then they were just wasting inventory and people were keeping things, but there was no way to track late fees and it was just a mess. Yeah, the business world is weird, man. And like I always say that is it's good to follow your interests and your passions because odds are pretty good it's going to be something that you can turn into a gig later. Mm-hmm. Because what the people I always feel bad for, because, you know, you'll get that advice of like, go to trade school, go to a vocational school, learn a trade, learn how to do something like an actual task for, you know, your community or something. And you'll probably always have a job. So like, go learn how to be a car mechanic. Go learn how to be a vocational nurse. Go learn how to do these things that can add to the workforce and you're bettering your economy and community. Say that to the technicians that worked on landline rotary phones. You see what I'm saying? So like, those don't exist anymore.
Right,
like, nobody has a
those
landline anymore.
Yeah, no. Everybody's on cell phone now.
That's it. So you got these guys. These guys have been in the business 20-something years, right? Like, business is good. Everyone's got the dial tone, the big spiral thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? So their rotary phones are going on all cylinders. People have 4 and 5 landlines in their house. And then just seemingly overnight. Well, no, that's not a thing anymore.
No.
So, like, the repairmen and the technicians for those phones, they are literally out of an entire industry, not just a line of work, but like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Like, and that's when you have to like evolve, you know?
Yeah. And you have to, and here's guys that are super good at it. But now, once again, we're going back to the thing we talked about. How are you going to teach a 65-year-old dude that's been doing this for 30 years how to like wirelessly do freaking, you know, remote service on a cell phone? It ain't gonna happen.
Or
like,
how to make a sale
way. It ain't gonna happen.
This episode sounds like we're just
we're old, just man. Not, like, the fucking world's burning down, dude.
Yeah, pretty much.
We haven't even started talking about like actual politics either.
Oh yeah. Jeez. Oh man!
Oh, back in my day.
Back in my day.
We were gonna change the name of this show to "Back in My Day."
That's the segment. back in my day.
We'll talk about things that happened
as we discuss the things that are happening today.
Those kids with loud rock music.
Yeah,
they need to get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, Gran Torino.
That fucking movie. Isn't it weird that Clint Eastwood makes the same movie over and over and over?
Yeah, and it's
but
fine.
No one gives him shit on it.
Yeah, right, because it's fucking Clint Eastwood. Who you can tell?
It's like that dude. Yeah, who you gonna talk shit on Dirty Harry? Like you're gonna let you're gonna say something to him? No.
He's gonna call you a racial slur and tell you like get off the lawn.
Yeah, he'll have a cigar in his mouth and he'll pull out a revolver.
That's Clint Eastwood. So
that's it, man. That's what.
That's fine.
I just like once you get past a certain age, it's okay to be super like terrible and racist.
Sure.
Yeah, it's grandpa.
Yeah,
that's how he is.
He just says crazy things.
Oh, he's a different era.
Sure, like
good old grandpa.
That's not a Halloween Klansman costume.
<That's> he doesn't mean what he says about Pearl Harbor.
He's just talking crazy.
Oh, he's just silly.
Oh, we'll grandpa.
Play dominoes with him.
Right.
And what's bad is I think now, like probably all of our listeners, guys, leave us a comment if this is true. Everyone has one of those in their family. There's one. There is one. Every family's got one.
Yeah, right.
And then, hey, and if you're the person that like, no, my family doesn't have one. It's you. Like
it's you. It's you. You're literally that person.
You are the person.
You are becoming, you are evolving into like
Gran Torino style.
You're evolving into Gran Torino.
Weird million right dollar in front baby of our version eyes. Of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Dude. Oh man.
Oh. But yeah, it's just like just hanging in there. Just watching the world go to hell in a handbasket, and
yeah, I'm watching, and I'm like, there's no way out of this. I mean, move to Canada or
right.
go back to my homeland, or
right,
you know,
move to Ireland, man.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever visited Ireland?
Never have. Okay. I need to do it one time though.
Yeah.
It's not too expensive to travel places anymore. Like if you book out a few months early and like it's doable at least.
Yeah, it is. It actually is. Cause one of my coworkers, like they're Filipino, and they said that cause usually flights to the Philippines is pretty up there, but like they got their flight ticket prices like $600. I was like, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, I mean, considering what is that? Probably an 18-hour flight.
Yeah,
like
pretty much.
One way.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know.
And now the places are doing those all-inclusive style packages to where, like, okay, for $1,500, you get 2 round-trip plane tickets, 3 nights in a hotel, food for breakfast, lunch, dinner, a tour of whatever, and time at a resort or something.
Yeah.
For $2,000.
Like, yeah, like, $2,000.
All right. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. If they set my schedule for me, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, right. Well.
Oh, man. But yeah, it's like... It's like 11:30. It's one of those that's another way I know I'm getting old. Cause used to, man, I used to put like in the early days, Nitro Beard and like even with like No Quarter and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys running. Hell, you know, cause we stayed up till like 6-7 in the morning sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like we would just pull all nighters and just be fine.
Yeah.
It's like if it's past 12:15, my eyes just like glue shut.
Dude,
like they just,
bloodshot red. Like, are you tired? Like, yeah, it's 10 o'clock.
it's just nighttime out. The
it's
sun
ready to
down.
Sleep. I got to get up at 4:30.
Right. Yeah. Oh.
Dude. Yeah, man.
But yeah,
I can't believe we're just getting older like that, man.
It's weird. Because when did that happen? And like, I work at a college, and now I'm starting to reset passwords for people that were literally born in the year 2000. They were born in the year 2000. And these are like the tastemakers now. Like these are the people that like, here's the cool music.
Yeah.
Like I was about to get out of high school when you were born. Like what is happening?
Yeah. We're that's the part of our lives that we're getting into.
And now, I don't know, and you might feel the same way. Why does everybody that's under the age of like 28 just look like babies? They all look like children now.
Yeah.
Like every in the face, the way they're built, like the clothes they wear.
Like, so how old are they? Like 16? Like I'm 24. Yeah. Shut up. Shut up.
It's like, you know, you're not. There's no way.
Just my ass. You get mad because you know how old you are. And then there's this like fountain of youth motherfucker comes into play. And then coming in like, here.
It's unbelievable. And it's like, why? How does. And like people will say they're 16 and 17. And I'm like, you're not a day over 11. You're not a day. Just learned how to talk. Like, there's no way.
Dora taught you just now how to get to, we made it.
They just got done potty training, and that now you're a college student. Like, what is this? Get out of here. That shit.
Dude.
But it's true. Like, and I see it all the time now. But now it's funny because, and you may see this too, to where now you can see the dynamics of like boys and girls and this girl likes this guy and all this stuff. You can see it and call it a mile away. You can be like, you could see a group of four people walk by and let's say it's two guys and two girls and they're just friends and they're just hanging out and they're like in a Walmart goofing off or something. You watch them for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You have that entire, like their life story figured out. And it's true. Every time you're like, oh, I see. He's hanging out with his friend because his friend has an in with that one. And,
right.
But he likes the other friend.
So but don't you? Yeah, that's super funny because that's what I do now. Like whenever we're together, like we're going out, you know, on our dates, I people watch.
Yeah,
like, that's something I don't do. Like I never really did back in the day, but I people watch. Like, okay, yeah. And then you make up, like as you said, you're making up stories. Like, oh, or you're trying to figure out like what's the deal with you know this group. Yes.
Yep.
it's fun.
And then you like nail it though, and like it's a weird. And I was like, God, why couldn't I have this when I was like 14?
Right,
my lanky ass is trying to get some, some smooches, and then it's just it all crumbled down because I'm like, oh, hi guys, like I'm the most awkward person in the world. Like you and I both had the bowl cut, man.
Yeah,
you were rocking that bowl cut. That that Jonathan Taylor Thomas bowl cut.
Jonathan Thomas. That Three Ninjas Kicks Back.
Not even the original, but Kicks Back, the fucking dreadful sequel.
Dude.
But hey, that means guys. We still did fine. That means we had game.
Yeah.
If you can get girls with haircuts like that.
With a bowl cut.
Oh,
with a handicap.
Just macking. Just
yeah, dude.
Doing it.
So this is like the nostalgia episode, basically.
This is, man. We're talking about how old we are and how young people suck.
Yeah.
So hey, so now we don't have the Twitch demographic anymore.
Right. Twitch demographic.
Oh
don't
my God.
Tune into this one.
In real talk, man, I'm so glad I'm out of that hustle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It, you know. So like,
how do I appeal to Chuck E. Cheese people? Like, how do I appeal to 13-year-olds?
Kappa heads and all that stuff.
Yeah, so no like,
so Vamp, we've been started like, you know, go in motion like of, you know, posting in the forums on comedahobo.com. Be sure to sign up and, you know, join conversation there.
That's right.
Vamp brought up like, I wish, Marco would come back to stream. I was I type like, yeah, man, you know, maybe one day. But I'm thinking like, when am I ever going to come back to this? Like, right. And I'm thinking like, sure, I still have my backlog games that I still need to get rid of. Like, but now I'm like, I'm playing like Dead Island and without streaming it when I was trying to progress through story.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm in that mentality. That I just got to get rid of these games just to beat them, you know, not just letting them lead, kick up dust and stuff. But I still have my Elgato and my, you know, Blue Snowball mic, and they're just, you know, collecting dust.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't have the time to even do that type of thing because, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, Balrog and Sagat at the same time.
At the same time. You know? That's a load right there. That's a heavy load.
Right.
I get it, man, because I guess it's just like a priority shift. Or, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's the time that where we realize that now it's not our livelihood anymore. Like, mm-hmm. we have the stuff we got to take care of. And then if we do come back, and like, I miss the people. That is the only thing I miss. Totally. I miss having people in chat and us having inside jokes and stuff. But that's why I think this is a pretty cool dig, because we still get to shoot the shit, but then we mm-hmm. still get to hear from our friends. And they can tell us, give us feedback. Hey, that was a funny show. Hey, you know, like whatever it is, they can add 2 cents. Like I could talk on the forums with people. So to me, getting out of Twitch and getting out of that side of the game is just cutting out the fat. Like, if my favorite thing was just talking to people, let me just fucking talk to people. Like, what am I doing all this other stuff? Like, that's all. I was getting caught up in the minutia of it. And it's like, let me just talk to Marco. Let's just make each other laugh. Let's talk to Vamp. Let's talk to people on the forums. Let's talk to people on Twitter. Let's just do that. Like, that's more fun anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's it, man. Like, and that's a reason why we wanted to make the show. Like, we still wanted to create content because we know that there are people that were fans of the content we were making. So it's like, okay, how can we just kill all the birds with one stone? Just, let's record this thing. Let's have fun doing it. Let's keep in touch with everybody we like. And I mean, it is what it is. And it's just, you move on. And, you know, big props to those guys that can do Twitch for 9 and 10 years or whatever.
Dude, I'm actually surprised, like, Todd is still at it.
Yeah, man.
He's still streaming.
Todd's still going. And the thing is, man, Todd's stuff is good.
Yeah.
And, like, he's solid. EVF?
Todd EVF, yeah.
EVF on Twitch. Go follow him. Mm-hmm. Tell him your boys, brother around. That's right.
Pushing this guy.
Yeah, we're giving him a push. He's a true brother. He's worked the game for a long time. And he's good. But the thing is, he's one of those unsung heroes. Vamp is the same way.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, totally.
I mean, these guys hustle, man. They work so fucking hard. And they do great work. I will put their work up with the best on Twitch. And I say that not spouting smoke. Like, they know that they talk to their people. Their viewers come first. They love having those inside jokes and those moments. Like, they get it. They get what the work is. Yeah.
They have a foundation that, you know, we may have started, you know, when we were trying to do it on ourselves, but like the priorities weren't there just to stay with it. And these guys are still going, and which is great because they have a foundation of people, you know, their own fan bases. And then like, they're just going to continue to grow, you know, depending, you know, no matter if it's like, you know, big growth or like gradual growth, it's still going to be growth.
Exactly. Like, they're doing the work and they're putting in the time and they're getting good results. And the thing is, like, I love the fact that, you know, people talk about the Hobo Nation and the Hobo Network and stuff. And I love the fact that for that very brief glimpse and glimmer of time, I was able to bring in a lot of viewers. That way I could share those viewers with other people that I like. You know what I mean? Like, I was very fortunate that I was having 200 and 300 live viewers at a time. That way some of it could go and they could see Vamp, they could see Todd, they could see you, they could see people that I wanted to push out there and be like, okay, yeah, I do this and it's all fun and games and thanks for watching me. However, here's a group of 10 people that you got to check out. And even if 2 or 3 of them stuck around, you know, that's, to me, that's a job well done. So it's like, God bless. Like, Hobo Network, Hobo Nation, I love it. I have amazing memories for it, and the people that I met are some of the best people on the planet. Oh, but it's the hustle that, like, Todd built his own fan base. Vamp's gonna say the Hobo Network was part of it. Vamp did it himself. Like, Vamp put Vamp over. No one else. Like, he put in the hustle, he put in the work. Maybe if some of my spotlight helped a little, great, but he did it.
He found his niche.
He found it and he did it and he's hustling it and he's working, man. He's doing good things.
and dude, that's like the Diablo, and like I believe he's doing like magic card games now.
Yeah, he does that magic. I think Magic Duels is on Steam. You know, people are messaging him on Twitter about, hey man, what's your deck composition like? So he found it. He found his niche and hustle it, man. Just go for it and
milk it.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to do it, and like that way you still have fun. You stay true to yourself.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on everything. And it's like what we were talking about, tying it all back, coming full circle, talking about exercising. And like the best exercise on the planet to do is the one that you want to do. Like, if you want to ride bikes, do it. If you want to swim, do it. If you want to do Muay Thai, do it. If you want to bodybuild, do it. But just go do something.
Yeah, totally. Totally, man.
But yeah, I think that's it for this one. Hey, we've been going for an hour and 15 minutes.
There you go.
That's a good solid. That's a hefty. That's a solid B plus, right?
That's a meaty stew there.
Oh, but to wrap it up, it's going to end on a kind of a dour note. I told you before we started recording that there's some.
Yeah, you did.
Fucking Hideo Itami got hurt at a house show. Again. He got his vertebrae pinched. He's out for the rest of the year minimum. That guy cannot fucking catch a break.
Catch a break. Like, can't catch a break.
Kenta could be as big as anything in the wrestling business.
People are waiting for those matchups like Shinsuke versus Kenta and all that stuff.
They were doing the Dusty Classic, him and Kota Ibushi as a tag team.
Yeah.
Canceled.
Yeah. Who did the power slam? It was a power slam, right?
Yeah, it was Russell Moss or something, like some dude, like just a guy. Okay. Like okay. he's not even over.
Oh, so like a guy that just has yet to be TV debuted on NXT. Correct.
Yeah, so yeah, he's a primer. He's out of that new graduating class. And you know, and to be fair, it's not on him. It's not like he dumped him. It's not like he gave him a potato or whatever. Like he didn't sandbag him, but what kind of luck?
You know what's kind of worrisome was, I haven't watched SmackDown yet, but I've seen like, you know, the highlights and stuff.
Yeah.
James Ellsworth almost took the Styles Clash bad.
Uh-oh.
Because there's people like Yoshitatsu and I think Lionheart. A couple of guys took the Styles Clash bad because they tucked their chin. You're not supposed to do that.
Oh, yeah, right. You're supposed to look
You're supposed to just lay there like, you know,
flat.
Like level face flat type of thing, but these guys are tucking the chin, and I guess AJ caught that almost at the end because you know how he would land like his quads front,
yes,
or his legs front, but I think he landed on his knees just so he would like absorb the impact because he was tucking his chin just to save him.
Oh,
but yeah,
man, oh man,
but like, James Ellsworth, like he's the man. I'm a James Ellsworth fan. No chin life here.
Right. Like
any man with two hands that still has a fighting chance.
That's right. I can't believe I need that
t-shirt.
Oh man.
I love that guy.
Like, it's such a like a rough business. And
yeah.
Cuz I just all I wanted was Kenta to have that one, even just get like whatever C tier belt.
Mm-hmm.
Just get hell. Give him the NXT title. Give him, bring him in. Give him.
He will eventually get it. He will eventually get it. He needs to. He needs to not be in areas where you know, not be in the bad, you know, bad place in the bad time type of thing.
The thing I'm worried about is because you passed a certain point of no return. Like okay, we all know that Christian is retired, right? The reason why Christian's retired is because he had too many concussions.
Yeah.
It's because he was prone to injury. Whenever a guy passes a certain, you just pop that label. You just pass that point of no return. I'm worried because Kenta was out for a year and a half with the bicep stuff. With like, he tore his shoulder. He was out for surgery.
He came back.
Then not even a month after his return. He gets out for an indeterminate amount of time with a neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's on that list now. Mm. I think he's on that list that they're gonna baby him. They're gonna be like, okay, well, if you come back, we're gonna just have you do some interviews for a month, and then you're gonna come back, and then we're gonna see how it goes, and then
yeah. I mean, I feel more optimistic about it only because I know that Dolph Ziggler was that guy too.
Yes, he was.
But now, like, he's finally, I mean, like, he's getting a storyline. So, like, that's, he's doing great, you know.
Yeah.
IC title is fine. You know, eventually, if you get the heavyweight title, then that's fine too. But Kenta, I think you got a point there, but I also think, like, he may be on, like, the three strikes. I don't even think that you're out. It's just, it was just a bad situation. Like,
I mean,
you know,
And I feel so bad because I'm like, but I've always had a soft spot for the underdog Japanese wrestler. Like,
yeah.
So, and because I love Taka and Funaki, them growing up. Yeah. Love Tajiri, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Japanese buzzsaw. You know, love Shinsuke. But the thing is, like, Shinsuke can get over anywhere, anytime because of just who he is and, like, he still has his New Japan Pro Wrestling, like Freddie Mercury mixed with Michael Jackson swagger type character. That's his character. He didn't change it at all. Which why would he? That's a genius character.
One to one transition.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's him. That's Shinsuke Nakamura. Kenta dropped everything, changed his style, changed his name, tried to adapt, and just couldn't get to that and like he was just going in to do a big rivalry with Austin Aries. They had an amazing match back in like 2009, just super hardcore violent, like amazing to watch, and they both got over, and it was in Ring of Honor, and genius match. They both had long hair. It's really funny to watch it now because you're like, god, these guys look crazy and they're young. But but like they could have a repeat of that. They both can still go. So it could have been genius. But now that's shelved.
How old is Kenta now?
Oh, Kenta's 37.
He's getting up there.
36. That's what I mean, man. Like, so he was out with the bicep thing. He's already wrestled 15 years even before getting to WWE.
Yeah.
So like he doesn't have many ticks on his bump card left.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm like, oh my God, he was getting his push. He was going to be with Kota Ibushi, who's like the hottest free agent on earth right now. He was going to be going in with Austin Aries, who can work with anybody. They've already had a great rivalry. Like, he's in prime position to go after Shinsuke for the belt.
Right. He's out for like undetermined amount of time, right?
Undetermined.
Yeah.
Which means a while.
Okay.
I'm so like, oh my God. Cause like what I was even thinking is I was talking with my fiance and we were like, okay, you know, we're here in Texas. The Royal Rumble is going to be in San Antonio.
San Antonio. Are you going to legit go?
See, I was really thinking, dude, this is going to be a great time to bring Kenta up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Is make him a person. He won't win it, but make him a guy in the Rumble. I know for a fact he won't be there.
Yeah, he was in the Battle Royal when they were here.
Yeah, he was in the Andre deal for WrestleMania. He's one of those guys, but now guaranteed he won't be there.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean, you know, say like, yeah, this didn't happen. I think he would still have like about like a good year, 6 months. Or more NXT.
Yeah.
Before he gets up the main roster.
I agree. Yeah, that's true. But at least he would have a run. You know, at least he would have that opportunity to really get over as Hideo Itami in NXT. Instead of being like, oh, there's Kenta. Look how kick-ass Kenta is, which he is. But like he still needed those matches, those slightly defining matches. Like, Sami Zayn has more defining matches in NXT than like anybody on the planet.
Oh yeah,
like,
for sure.
Unbelievable, right? But that's how he got over as Sami Zayn instead of here's El Generico, but he's not wearing the mask this time. Like, yeah. Now he's known as Sami Zayn. Now he's over with the crowds everywhere. Like, it took NXT to get him there. Mm-hmm. Same thing for Hideo Itami. Like, he needed to be reinvented, but he was always 80% there, and then something mm-hmm. happened. And then he's 80% there again, and then something happened. And it's like, he just can't get that throttle going. He just can't hit that stride.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. But yeah, that's the thing. And I learned about it earlier today. I thought people were joking with me. I was getting DMs, and there was like, oh yeah, Tommy's hurt. I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, no, he's not. Like, what happened? And then they're like, oh no, he got thrown on his neck at a house show. I'm like, yeah. At a house show? Really? He's out forever now because of a fucking house show? Like, what are the odds?
Yeah.
Ugh. You just hate to see it. You hate anybody to get hurt. But apparently, especially guys that are literally, like, on that cusp mm-hmm. of, like, okay, now he's really going to be over. Now he's going to be a threat. He's going to be in the title picture. Nope. Ugh. I'm telling you, man, kids these days. It's kids these days. But yeah, I think that's our time. We're at, almost an hour and a half again. Look at that. Consistency for Brethren Around.
There you go.
That's right, man. But yeah, so thank you for everyone that's watching on YouTube. Hey, and if you subscribed on iTunes, we got that iTunes hookup.
Yeah, we do.
You can search us for free, of course, iTunes. Go into podcast, type in Brethren Around. We're the only thing that pops up, baby.
Yeah, buddy.
We're it, man. We are the jam.
Give us them good reviews. Give us reviews.
Awesome, them awesome reviews.
So we'll show up like more on, I guess, what's new or something?
Yeah, like popularity and stuff
like that. Popularity, yeah. Like that definitely will help us.
Goes up a little bit. But yeah, but thanks everyone for listening. This was
thank you.
A nice change of pace from the first episode. This give you a little sample taste of what to expect. So, like, next week, who knows what's going to be on the table?
It'll be totally inconsistent.
Absolutely. That'll be the only thing consistent.
That we can guarantee on.
What is that thing that Sting used to say? The only thing to be sure about with the stinger is you can't be sure about the stinger or something like one of those things.
Was that before he became Crow?
Yes, that was right before. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I remember that.
The only thing to expect is to expect the unexpected or something like
that. Yeah.
So, and I was like, that's a good line, Sting. Good work.
Yeah. Now go up in the rafters.
Yeah, go up there with your vulture. They couldn't even get
I hope Crow. You don't have height, frightened.
A big buzzard.
Dude, that was me. I would have freaked out because I'm terrified of heights.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But that Crow gimmick. Oh, yeah. So good. Yeah. That's all next episode will be is just an hour and a half of me talking about how good the Crow gimmick was. But that's our time, guys. I'm Wes Gardner. That's Marco Flores. Follow him, Marco Polo 177
sir.
On that Twitter. You follow me, Kami Da Hobo, KamidaHobo. And we will see you guys next time on Brothering Around, brother.
Peace, guys.